The Asian Classics Institute presents What the Buddha Really Meant with Geshe Michael Roach, recorded live in New York City in November of 1998. This is the beginning of Class 7.
Actually, I don't know if you noticed, we finished off the sutra, okay? So, what sutra? It's called the Commentary on the Turin Ten, in which the Buddha explains his other sutras, okay? So it's the sutra in which the Buddha explains his other sutras. And we got down to understanding more about which of the three wheels is figurative and which is literal, and we went through all the different schools, the two schools on it, the two Mahayana schools, which is mind only and middle way. And we finished all that, and now, actually, Jetsun Khapa moves on to new territory. He's moving on to the commentaries from ancient India, over which a thousand years of time they explain the contents of the sutra. Okay, so certain great pandits or thinkers of ancient India took the trouble to explain that sutra. Then Jetsun Khapa points out that the greatest one, perhaps, is Togme. Said Tome, which is Papa Tome. This is Arya Asanga. You know, Arya meaning someone who's seen emptiness directly. Okay, so he says that the first person or the main person who's commenting on the sutra is a Sangha. Okay, and then he proves it. Okay, he's not satisfied just to say that. So in your reading, the first thing Jetsun Khapa will do is to show like 3, 4, 5 places where Arya Asanga refers directly to that sutra. To in explaining his beliefs, he refers directly to the sutra frequently. And Jetsun Khapa gives you some beautiful examples. And those short quotations are very sweet, and we don't have time to go through them. I mean, they give 5 characteristics of emptiness, which are really cool. They mention 5. Geshe Thupten Rinchen went through every one in detail. It was really beautiful. You have to get that video, okay? He mentions the 8 consciousnesses. You know, normally we only talk about 6. Mind-only school talks about 8. And then Geshe Thupten Rinchen went into a long spiel about that, which we don't have time to do here. But you should try to hear the audio tapes or get the video tapes. And then after that he says, by the way, you know Arya Sangha was a, what do you call it, stenographer? How do you say? He was taking dictation. Yeah, from Maitreya. Okay, so you know, there's a big fight about whether these books were, I mean, fight among Western scholars who wrote the books. You know, Buddhists, we say that Arya Sangha went to Maitreya's paradise. How far is that? How far is it from the dog who was had his bottom half cut off and he was to where you could meet was it Maitreya? How far is that? I mean, is this in the same place? Okay? I mean, it's in the same place. I mean, Arya Sangha can sit in this class and write down Maitreya's words if your karma is good enough, right? It would be the guy sitting next to you or the lady sitting next to you would be Maitreya. And you would just say, you know, could I copy your notes or something? Okay? And, okay? If your karma was good enough, okay? You wouldn't have to go anywhere, okay? It's not like he had to take a big trip or anything like that, okay? And the books are extraordinary. They form much of the five great books of Maitreya, they're called, and they form much of the curriculum of a Tibetan monastery. Two of them are written from the middle way point of view. Three of them are written from the mind-only point of view. And Jetsun Kapa points out that even in the ones that were written from the middle way point of view, Arya Sangha is still using that sutra as his weapon. You know, he's still hung up on the sutra. So he says, Arya Sangha is obviously basing his whole work, Maitreya, on this sutra, okay? On the sutra in which the Buddha explains his other sutras. In so doing, Arya Sangha reinvents, or what do you say, resuscitates the mind-only school. Okay, he's been called the innovator, right? There are two great innovators. And then people say he began the mind-only school. Geshe Thubten Rinpoche corrected us. He said, the guy who began the mind-only school was Lord Buddha in the chapter in the Bodhisattva asks the question. And then it was sort of dormant for a while, okay? Like 200-300 years. And then Arya Sangha came along and reawakened interest in this book, okay? Geshe Thubten Rinpoche pointed out importantly that oftentimes Arya Sangha is quoted as reporting the views of the mind-only school. He said, I'm reporting the views of the mind-only school. What's that mean? He doesn't belong to it, okay? I mean, people think he belongs to it. He says, no, there's many occasions where he says Arya Sangha is reporting the views of the mind-only school, meaning he's really middle way, okay? But he believes that mind-only school is useful for comparative purposes, right? And as you'll see in many of your meditations, if you've been doing them, a lot of them call upon you to contrast the idea of the middle way school and the mind-only school on the same idea. And this helps you clarify what middle way means. Because most of your wrong ideas about middle way school are the mind-only school. Okay? And when you study both of them, which is the function or the purpose of this class, then by the time you get out of here, your idea of what middle way school says should be much clearer. Because you know what the subtle wrong ideas of the other Mahayana school are. Okay? And then you'll be able to clearly, it's very good when you're teaching and somebody asks you a question, you say, oh yeah, that's a wrong idea that the mind-only school people have, and it's not quite pure middle way what you're thinking. You know, and then it helps people because you can clarify it. You can say, oh, that's middle way version, and here's the corresponding, that's the mind-only version, and here's the corresponding middle way version. So it's very helpful for understanding emptiness. Okay? So in that way, Jetsun Kapa shows us that Arya Sangha has reawakened the mind-only school and that he's mainly using that sutra to do so. Okay? And that's the whole first section of tonight's class. Then he goes on and says, how does Arya Sangha get into the tange? Okay? How does he get into tange? What's tange?
Literal
and figurative. That's what you're studying. Okay? You've got to know that. How does he get into it? How does he move into it? He starts out in a very interesting way. He's describing emptiness, which in this case is called thusness. Okay? Dekona ni. Say dekona ni. Dekona ni. He's describing thusness as something which is, I don't know how to describe it, which is something free of two extremes. Okay? So he describes emptiness as being that thing which is free of two extreme viewpoints. Extreme meaning wrong, you know, like left wing and right wing. Okay? Alright? And they're too radical. They're both wrong. Okay? One is extreme in one way, and the other is extreme in the other way, and they both have a certain viewpoint about something which is false, and that object which is free of the ideas of those viewpoints is emptiness. Okay? And that's how Arya Sangha gets onto onto his subject of emptiness. He's describing emptiness as that which is free or devoid of those two extremes. Okay. In fact, this is a pretty good description of what? What word? Middle way. Majjhimika. Okay. Why is Majjhimika, why do we call that school middle way? Because they thread a middle path between two extremes. Okay. And that's, I'm going to start out actually tonight backwards. Okay. Geshe Thupten Rinpoche would have said, I'll let you go to the Majjhimika door for a while and play in there for a while. Then you've got to come back and be mine only. Okay. So we're going to go to middle way school first. Because it's very holy. This is one of the most important teachings of the middle way school. And then we'll go back to the mind-only version of it, which is not correct, okay? But I think it's better if you get the right one in your head first, okay? Otherwise, you might end up, you know, during three-year retreat, you'll be a mind-only school person, okay? Let's see. We'll start out with the word. Say ta.
Ta.
Ta. Ta means the edge of something, like this is the ta of the projector. It can mean the end of something, it can mean the limit of something, okay? If for example, you have reached ultimate, you know, enlightenment, they might name you Gone to the Limit, or Tarchin, okay? So Losan Tarchin means pure-minded one who's gone already to the limit, meaning to the end, okay? Cross the finish line, okay? In philosophy, in Buddhist philosophy, ta means an extreme, a wrong idea, okay? And it's called ta because it means the edge of a cliff, okay? If you fall off this edge, or if you go over this edge, you will fall. And your viewpoints, if they wander that far, will end you up in a hell realm. I mean, that's the general explanation, okay? So, in this case, ta means extreme, but extreme in the sense of a cliff, the edge of a cliff, okay? And you get really hurt if you go either way. Think of middle way as a cliff on each side, and you're like just balancing and walking up this mountain, okay? I did it the other week, it was really like that. You know, like if you go too far that way, you fall 30 feet. If you go too far that way, you fall 100 feet. You're like balancing on these rocks, you know? And that's middle way. That's what middle way means. Okay, it's important to distinguish between ta, which means extreme, and tarnzin, which means holding to an extreme. Okay, and I'll write tarnzin. Say tarnzin.
Tarnzin.
Tarnzin means holding to an extreme, believing in an extreme view. Okay. And they're very careful in the monastery when they teach this subject to say that the extreme to which this state of mind is holding, in other words, the idea which this state of mind has in mind, refers to something which doesn't even exist. Okay? Alright? Like if you believe in a self-existent pen, then your mind is holding on to something that doesn't even exist. Okay? Like a two-headed, 30-foot, purple elephant rampaging through this cafeteria, this hall right now. Okay, smashing people. Bloody massacre, you know. Alright? It doesn't even exist. Never existed, couldn't exist, can't exist, won't exist, didn't exist, doesn't exist. Okay? That's a self-existent object. That's ta. That's an example of ta. So extreme here, you gotta be careful. Extreme means, in philosophy, something which doesn't even exist. Like to believe in Santa Claus, what would be the ta? Santa Claus. Okay? And then believing in Santa Claus is tarnzin. You see? Holding to an extreme. Okay? Holding to a thing that doesn't really exist. Okay? And you gotta get used to that. Okay? There's a big difference between extreme and a view where you hold an extreme. And in Buddhism, when you hold to an extreme in this sense, you're holding to something that doesn't even exist and never existed. And in fact, that holding is what causes you all your suffering. All your suffering comes from, I mean, it'd be a little more bearable if all our suffering came from a misconception about something that did exist, but it's not that. All of our suffering comes from thinking and believing in something that never could exist. You see, I mean, it's sort of a joke, a cruel joke by reality. You know, that all of your death, your growing old, all the suffering you've ever experienced in this life came from believing in something that couldn't exist, doesn't exist, didn't exist, won't exist. You see, I mean, it's kind of a cruel joke. It's not just misunderstanding something. It's believing in something that was never there. Okay? You've got to get used to that. That's tough. Okay? There are two forms of Tanzin. Okay? And I'm going to give you the Madhyamika version first. By the way, in both schools, they have the same name. Okay? Say Dondok. Dondok. This is a tough one. No, not so tough. Okay, we've made up a word for it, which is concocting things. I was translating it during Geshe Thupten Rinchen's class as overrating something, but overrating doesn't give you the right idea. I'll tell you why. When I say you've concocted an idea about something, the implication is that the thing doesn't exist at all. You see, he's concocting some charges against this guy, but the guy is totally innocent. You see, concoct means to make something where there is nothing. You know, to invent something falsely, right? And that's what Dondok means, okay? Dondok means to see something there which never was there, never will be there, never could be there. To say overrating something is a little different, isn't it? Overrate means the thing is a problem, but you're making it bigger. That would be to imply that the thing exists and you're making it bigger or smaller or something like that. That's not the point here. The point is that this viewpoint or this way of thinking or this misperception thinks it sees something there when there's absolutely nothing there. Okay? And that's, you have to get used to that. Yeah?
I'm wondering if you'll be synonymous with fabricating.
You can say, yeah, making it up. Okay. The main point is, where there is nothing, you are making something. Okay? That's the main thing. Okay? We asked, you know, we had this great scholar tied down to his bed in his room. He was teaching on his bed, and we said, what does Dondok mean anyway? I've never seen any word like any other word like that. Dok means to apply something or to label something, but what is Tro? And he had a very interesting explanation. He says, I'll tell you an oral tradition. So I'm passing on now an oral tradition. This is not written down anywhere that I'm aware of. And it's probably one of those oral, you know, it's a real oral tradition. Okay. Anyway, drol, the word drol means feather, like a feather on a bird. Okay. Dropur means a feather on a bird. And he says, drone dog means to apply a feather, and it refers to the act of fabricating an arrow. So originally all you have is a stick and a feather. And then by stripping up the feather and putting glue on it and sticking on there, you have fabricated a new thing called an arrow. Okay, so Dondok means sticking on the feather means to make something where there's nothing there. It means to trump up something or to make up something or to concoct something. Okay? Feather making. Feather sticking. Alright? And that's how I guess you can explain it. It's kind of cool. I've never seen it anywhere else. Okay, that's Dondok. So making something where there was nothing before. Okay, its brother is Kundap, which is, we can say, discounting things. Say Kundap. Opposite of Dondok. Say Dondok. Kundap. Dondok. Okay? Kundap means the opposite. So what would that be? Yeah. To say there's nothing when there really is something. Okay? So Kundap, classic Kundap would be, oh, this guy has no compassion when they really do have compassion. This guy's not a bodhisattva when they really are a bodhisattva or something like that. That would be Kundap. Okay? Those of you who do sojong, you know, would be like, in the Jishat, which means to discount Aryas. You know, oh, he's no Arya, he couldn't be an Arya, or something like that. Okay? It means to something, somebody really is something. Somebody really does have a high spiritual quality. Somebody really is an Arya. And you say, nah, they're not. Okay? Couldn't be. Okay? That's called Kundap. To say there's nothing when there is something. Alright? So Dondok means to say there is something when there isn't anything, when there really isn't anything. And gunda means to say there's nothing there when there really is something there. Yeah. We're going to get to it. She says, what's that got to do with emptiness? We're about to get there. Okay. Now, Madhyamika way. Okay. I'll answer her, Robin first in the Madhyamika way. Concocting thing means, does this cylinder exist from its own side? Excuse me. Good. What school are we in? Okay. Good question. Okay. Let's say mind only school.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Does it have its own identity from its own side?
Yes.
Mind only. Yeah, it does. Because it exists by definition, which is the definition of existing by definition. Okay. It exists from its own side. It has its own identity. I did not make up this pen. It's a pen from its own side. If a dog took it in his mouth, he would be chewing on a pen. Okay? All right? Not a cylinder that he perceives as a chewable thing. All right? And that means it's coming from its own side. I mean, that's already kind of crazy, right? But that's what people say and that's what people believe. Okay? So, if I say, oh, middle way school, does it exist from its own side? Does it have its own identity?
No.
From its own side?
No.
Does it have its identity?
Oh.
Yeah, the one you give it. How's that? Okay, you have to say, does it have its own identity from its own side? You say, no. Does it have an identity? Sure. From where? From your mind, okay? Because you are compelled by your karma. So if you don't like the way your world is, clean up your act. Okay, that's all. I mean, that's Buddhism in a nutshell. And that's the way you should explain emptiness, okay? Anyway, middle way school. Now, remember we're going to explain middle way school. Is there a pen that has its own identity coming from its own side in my head?
No.
Do you sometimes think there is?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Tarnzin. That's Drondog. Okay? Because it is holding on to a mythical, imaginary, non-existent pen that has its own identity coming from its own side. Can you imagine that false object? Oh yeah, you do all the time. Can you really perceive it? No, because it doesn't exist. You can perceive the mental image of it. The way you can perceive the mental image of a huge pumpkin crushing the Twin Towers. Oh yeah, I got it. You know? I mean, you have a mental image of a pen from its own side. And that's all you're ever seeing when you think there's a pen out there. Okay? But there's no reality corresponding to what you're imagining. Okay? There is no pen which has its own identity from its own side. Okay? You are grasping to something that doesn't even exist. You are making something there when there is no such thing there. And that's dondon. So get used to it. In middle way, school, to think that your boss is a bad person from his own side and not because you screwed up and made some lousy karma and you're forcing yourself to see him, okay, that's dondon. Dondon is the basis of all your suffering. Okay? To believe that bad events in your life, from your boss to traffic jams to taxes to the weather to your job to your health, to believe that they're all coming from some other place is dondon, because there is no other place. Okay, that doesn't even exist. Okay, from whom? A nasty god, random, what do you call him? Beginning of the world, Big Bang, you know. I mean, that's Shakti Dama says, okay, I'll give you some choices. Random Big Bang. What made the Big Bang? Oh, maybe another random Big Bang. You know, I mean, scientists now say maybe there was a first one, and what we see is the second one, okay? Which is, duh, then there must be a third one, right? You knew it had to come. And the other idea is that there's some God who's mad at you and he's creating traffic jams and cancer and AIDS, and he really does love you, but you've been bad, so here. You know, okay. Okay, I mean, neither one makes much sense. Okay, that's dondo. Believing that there's some kind of, that's another kind of dondo. But anyway, this dondo is thinking that there's a pen out there that I'm not responsible for. Okay, that I didn't make through my good deeds or bad deeds. Okay, that's all. And that's dondo. According to middle way school. And it applies to every object in the universe. To your mind, to your thoughts, to your toenails, to your toe jam sites, to Pluto, you know, to everything. Okay, to the fact that gravity pulls things down. I mean, to all kinds of things. It's true of all of them. Gravity itself is your projection. You know, if you had better karma, you could fly. And karma and gravity wouldn't work that way. Okay? Even physical so-called laws are also projections. And they can be defied by good karma. Okay? People don't have to die. Alright? Those are all projections. Yeah. She says it's drondok, the verb, and the object would be a dunchi. Dunchi means a mental image of something which you have experienced. So it always refers to something which exists, you see what I mean? So dunchi and a kuntak are not quite the same thing, and it's a beautiful difference. So kuntak means existing or non-existing mental fabrications. And dunchi means a mental fabrication from something you have experienced. And then drachi is another kind of fabrication, like that. So not quite the same. You could say drondok would be focused towards some kind of a mental image, maybe a kuntak or something like that. You see, a false mental image, the mental image of a pumpkin crushing the Twin Towers. Okay, something like that. Yeah. Let me think about that. Yeah, I'd say that. I'd say that's pretty cool. Dakya meaning the thing that emptiness is empty of. Non-existent, self-existent thing. Alright? That never existed. Okay, you gotta get used to that. Anyway, that's Drondo, according to Middle Way School. Okay, now Kurundam. Kurundam is, remember, it's saying that something's not there when it really is there. And the Kurundam version in Majjhimika is where somebody gives you a bad teaching on emptiness and says everything is an illusion, for example, and then you say, I can do whatever I want. Morality doesn't matter because it's all an illusion. You see, that's Kurundam. That's discounting the laws of karma and its consequences because someone gave you a bad teaching on emptiness. It's a state of mind that says, if things don't exist the way I thought they did before, then they don't matter and they don't exist at all. That's a really, really sick, ultimate sick idea in Buddhism. And people go around teaching it a lot, right? Oh, everything's empty. You know, go do your tantric stuff. You're liberated. Do you know what I mean? Like that. Nothing matters. Good karma and bad karma don't matter because they're just an illusion. That's like the stupidest conclusion you could draw from the real meaning of emptiness, right? It's like the most stupid thing you could say if you really understood emptiness, okay? So Kundap is where you are saying something doesn't exist which really does exist. Does karma and its consequences exist? Oh yeah, okay. If you teach somebody that things are empty so karma and consequences don't matter, that's Kundap, okay? Now I'll give you the classic middle way idea, okay? Middle way is objecting to two extremes. What's the first one? Yeah, Dondok, what's it say? If something exists, it must exist from its own side. Okay? If my boss is bad, he must be bad from his own side. If the people I don't like are real, then the thing about them I don't like must be coming from them. I can't be me. The last person in the world that would want this is me. It can't be my fault. Okay? And then you can have a mental affliction. Okay? Mental affliction depends on that way of thinking. You can't have a mental affliction if you don't think like that. The converse is, once you start understanding emptiness, you can't maintain your mental afflictions. Because you realize it's you. Okay? I mean, you can hit yourself if you want. I don't know if that's a mental affliction, you know. Stupid head. You know, okay? But you can't be angry at anybody else in the universe anymore because they're just your karma playing out that you collected. So if you don't like it, stop getting angry, okay? That's all. All right? So the first half of the equation, middle way school, the stupid idea, drondok, if something exists, it should exist from its own side. It should exist the way I see it, okay? If something exists, it should exist the way I think it does. Okay. We'll put it in Tibetan. Yeah, we're still in the middle way, okay? We didn't get to mind only yet. By the way, there's not much more Tibetan tonight. I think just one sentence or something. I said or something. That's literal. By the way, you should check it during the day, okay? Whenever you get upset, you're having an ignorance attack, okay? I mean, if you're in this class, seventh year now, you know, I mean, that's, if you don't come out of here with anything else, you should, you know, when you have your next mental affliction, start thinking about emptiness, you know? See if you can treat the mental affliction with the ultimate antidote, okay? It's the only antidote, according to Buddhism, that can remove those mental afflictions, you know? Start thinking about the emptiness of what you're angry at. Okay. Say yuna, rangi, siniki, dukkha. Yuna means if something exists. Okay, na means if, yu means exist. Okay, if something exists, rangi, siniki, dukkha means it should exist by definition. Ga means it should. Rangi, siniki, dukkha means by definition, from its own side. Okay. Or you can say, sometimes they say it in Madhyamika, the way I see it now. Okay? If something exists, it has to exist the way I always thought it did since I was a kid. Okay? That's dondok or kundep? Dondok. It's making up some requirement when that thing never was that way. It's not true. There's no such thing. Okay? It's not true that if things exist, they have to exist the way you always thought they did. Okay? What? From their own side. If only the other people at work would come to see that he's bad. There's some people like him, I can't believe it. They just don't have enough information yet. You know, I have to try to spread the good word, you know. And you do. You know, you think he's a good boss. He's not. Look what he did to all these people, you know what I mean? And you try to convince them that he's self-existently bad. Okay? From his own side. And that their perceptions are non-prominent. Okay, they're not having a good perception of him. All right, that's part of having a mental affliction. Is you want to prove it to everybody. You know what I mean? Okay, that's why it's going to get good. Okay, it must be like that. Okay, and then what's the opposite? The opposite is kundap. What's the kundap brother of this in Majjhimika? If it doesn't exist the way I thought it did, it doesn't exist at all. Okay. Which is, you asked. These are very famous in Madhyamika. Say Rangi, Seniki, Madhubna, Mega. Okay. Rangi, Seniki, Madhubna means, and if it doesn't exist by definition, meaning if it doesn't exist from its own side, or it doesn't exist the way I always thought it did, then Mega. It can't exist at all. It must not exist at all. And what's the most popular object of this viewpoint? The laws of karma and consequences. Morality. Okay? If everything's an illusion, then it doesn't matter what I do. I'm free to do whatever I want. Okay? Which is the ultimate bad view. Okay? Which is the ultimate misunderstanding of emptiness. Right? Total backwards misunderstanding. Right? Okay? So, if it doesn't exist the way I always thought it did, then it's just nothing. Okay? Then it doesn't matter. It's just if it's an illusion, it doesn't exist. If it's an illusion, it doesn't matter. What does Buddhism really say? Because it's an illusion, it does matter. Okay? Alright? Because karma and its consequences are an illusion, you goddamn well better follow them. Okay? That's what it really says. Okay? Some people water it down, they say, even though it's an illusion, you have to follow it. Forget that. Because it's an illusion, you have to follow it. Okay? You have to obey the laws of karma. Alright? You gotta think about that. Okay? If things weren't empty, you wouldn't have to obey the laws of karma. That's what it means. Okay? Because things are empty, you are compelled, you must follow the rules of karma. Because anything can become anything. Your hand can become a paw in 5 minutes. You know, if you don't play your cards right. Okay? No. I mean, because it's empty, you know. If it wasn't empty, there'd be no problem. Then you could do what you want. Okay? But because it is empty, you better follow your vows. Okay? All right. Yeah. It's sometimes translated as existentialism and nihilism. I think it's a dumb translation. The nihilism sounds okay to me, because nihilism kind of means thinking nothing matters or something like that. I like that. That's pretty close. But existentialism, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Everything does exist. If you don't think so, come up and let me drill your teeth, okay? All right. Yeah. That it exists from its own side, not that it exists. Okay. By the way, sometimes the extremes are called believing things exist and believing things don't exist, which means believing things exist by definition, and believing that they don't exist if they don't exist by definition. Okay? Sometimes they're called the extremes of thinking that everything is permanent and or unchanging, and the extreme of thinking everything has stopped. Chetta and takta. Okay? What does that mean? It's not my goal tonight to talk about that, but these are views which are necessary consequences of the other views. And it's good to know that. If you're going to study Buddhism seriously, okay? There's an extreme view called everything is unchanging, and there's an extreme view called everything has stopped. Okay, what does that mean? It means if your first wrong view was correct, which said what? The pen exists from its own side. Well, then the pen could never change. You see? It's a consequential view from the first view. If it's true that the pen comes from its own side, then it must be the case that this pen could never change. Could never run out of ink. Okay? It can only run out of ink if your perception starts to slow down and stop of it having ink. That's how it runs out of ink. It doesn't run out of ink because the water in it stops or something like that. Okay? By the way, does the water in it stop? Yeah. But why? Because your perception for water ran out. And you gotta think of it that way. Okay? If you believe that this thing exists from its own side, then what you're saying, in effect, is that it could never change. What's it got to do with you? If you exist from your own side, you're dead. You might as well go out and have a bud. You know what I mean? No hope of becoming a temporary deity in this life. Okay? If you existed from your own side. But since you don't, there's hope. You're empty. You can become anything. You just have to shift your karma. Change your karma. Follow your vows. Keep your book. Okay? Do tunduk, which is the same thing. Okay, real tunduk. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just so you know, when they say the extreme of unchanging, takta, it means that it's the necessary consequence of the first wrong view, which is that it exists from its own side. Chetta, believing that everything has stopped, is the necessary consequence of believing that if it didn't exist from its own side, it couldn't exist at all. So what are you saying? Everything has discontinued? You know, should we cancel tomorrow? New York Times, we should call them up, tell them to stop working. Okay? I mean, that's another version of these extreme views. Okay? Okay. Now we go to the mind-only school. Okay, since you don't look too exhausted. Would they explain Dondok in the same way? Would they say, you are concocting stuff with this cylinder when you say there's a pen here that comes from its own side? Would they say that? Not at all. Okay? Never. Because they believe it does come from its own side. From its own unique way of being. With its own identity. Do you guys believe that? It's the same question as saying, have you had a mental affliction today? Okay? It's the same question. I could have said, have you had a mental affliction today? Because if you did, you were holding something as existing from its own side. It's proof that you were holding it. It's proof that you're mind only. Don't go saying you're madhyamikas, okay? If you still have mental affliction. Okay? All right. So, here's how mind only school people say. They like to divide stuff up before they give an answer, right? No? What's their favorite turning of the wheel? Called? Find a thing. We gotta make distinctions here, okay? They like to divide things up, okay? Because, let's divide things into those three things. Okay, what? Gundak? Chewang? Yongju. Okay. Kundat meaning imaginary stuff. Okay? Constructs. Okay. Shenwang meaning
changing
things or dependent things. Yongju meaning, or you could have said the fact that these don't exist with these, which is their Yongju. Okay, you could have done it that way. Alright? Now, when they talk about Zhongdo, seeing something there when there's nothing there, they restrict it to kuntax. Okay? They restrict it to imaginary things. Give me a kuntax that does exist. How about Robin? How about car? How about pen? Okay. Ideas. Ideas about things. How about the pen is blue? You see, I mean, those are all ideas about, those are constructions in your mind about things. You know, is this lady with red hair and a certain kind of coat and a certain kind of look, is that Robin from its own side by definition? You know, does everybody who bumps into her street say, oh, Robin, hi. Okay? I mean, if she existed from her own side by definition, if the idea Robin, or the name Robin, or her being called Robin existed by definition, then everybody who ever met her would say, oh, hi, Robin, nice to see you, okay? And they don't. That's proof that that construct doesn't exist from its own side. So out of all the stuff in the world, in the mind-only school, only one thing doesn't exist by definition. That's kuntax. Okay? Kuntax. Give me an example. Robin. Okay? What's a more subtle example? The fact that Robin is called Robin. Okay? Does that exist from its own side? Is it necessarily true? Is it necessarily true that this is called a pen?
No.
Not at all. Shakespeare said, yeah, a rose by any other name would smell the same. Okay? It doesn't matter. Call it whatever you want. It's still going to work the same. Okay? It's the fact that it's called a pen is not something self-existent. It doesn't come from its own side. It doesn't exist by definition. It doesn't have, it's not called pen from its own side. This is, by the way, if you think about it, flirting very close to the Majjhimika idea. And so mind-only is very cool. This part of mind-only is very cool. It might even get you up to middle way. Oh, hey, that's why he taught it. Okay? I mean, that's why Lord Buddha taught it. Because it's very close to the right view. Okay? This particular part of mind-only school, the fact that this thing is called a pen doesn't come from its own side. That's very close to saying, hey, you know what? This thing is just your projection. Okay? So very close. It's very cool. Lord Buddha, in this side of the mind-only school, is trying to... That's probably where he ejects you to the middle-way school. You know what I mean? Probably go from that idea to the middle-way school. Okay? From that little corner of the mind-only school. Okay? That's one way of describing how this pen doesn't come from its own side. I'm sorry. Pen doesn't come from its own side. Pen.
But the cylinder...
Thus, cylinder is a Shenwang, please. Cylinder is a kuntak. Got it? Car is a kuntak. A car is a Shenwang. Okay? Big difference. Big difference. And that gets you really sexually close to Jorlong Chichong. Okay? The last hours before you see emptiness directly, when you understand that you're just watching a projection. Okay? Yeah?
Mind only still holds on to the colors and the shapes being from their own causes out there from the outside. Or
yeah, he said, does mind only hold on to the idea that the colors and shapes come from their own causes outside? Of course, and they say the pen does too. The pen, but not pen.
This pen.
Okay. Pen, quote, as a concept, as a construct, as an idea in your mind, is something that does not come from its own side. It could have been Pero, you know, it could have been Yuku. Which is, you know, these are different languages for pen, okay? Same thing, alright? Doesn't matter. So, if somebody asks you, here we go, this is your meditation assignment. What's the middle way's description of Zhongdok in this pen? Making up something where there's nothing. It comes from its own side. It comes from its own side. It has its own identity. It's anything but my projection, okay? Now, mind-only school, what's the Zhongdo for this pen? Thinking that, quote, pen is something that applies to it by nature, by definition, no matter what, you know? This is, by the way, the whole basis of prejudice or intolerance, you know. You know, I grew up, in my house, we called that kind of knife a butter knife. And you guys would call it a steak knife, you know. And then you start to get in a fight. You know what I mean? Really, okay? To think that it should be something by nature because you perceive it that way, or you grew up with it that way, is the whole basis of intolerance about things, okay? So yeah, mine only school says, you are don-doking it if you think it's called a pen or from its own side. If it's pen from its own side, okay? If you think that it's pen from its own side, okay? Middle way school says, if you think that anything exists from its own side, you're don-doking. Okay, big difference. Now I'll say it a different way. In the mind-only school, can you say that shenwangs, changing things, exist from their own side? Mind-only school. Sure. Yeah, sure. What's a big proof? It has its causes. You know, I mean, it must exist out there because it came from causes that exist out there. I mean, it's not just existing out there right now. It came from a whole factory that exists out there. And the factory that exists out there bought oil from Iraq that existed out there. And then they came here and fabricated into plastic that existed out there. And then all those people that existed out there worked on it. And it became a pen that exists out there. There's so much stuff out there that exists from its own side. It's got to exist from its own side. Okay? They think that proves it even better. That all this stuff's going on to make it happen. That's existing out there, so the thing must exist out there. That's their main idea, right? When they say, now, how about emptiness? Does it exist out there from its own side? In the mind-only school? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Is it just a fabrication of your mind? No. It does exist out there. Okay? All right? So, in mind-only school. So, what do you think Krindap would be in the mind-only school? And if you answer me right, you get to have refreshments.
The idea.
Huh? I'll give you a clue, okay? Dondog was saying that the first of the three groups exists by definition. Yeah. So Kundat must be about the other two. And it must say they don't exist by definition. Okay? Cool. Who would hold the first viewpoint, by the way, according to the mind-only school? Who would be stupid enough to say that this pen is a pen no matter what? This pen should be called pen under all circumstances. who would say that? Who would think that your boss should be called bad boss from his own sin? Your ignorance. Okay? We don't have to just talk about schools. Okay? Your ignorance functions that way. You want to know how ignorance functions according to mind-only school? Oh, don't dogs. What? Well, first of all, it thinks that bad boss should be called bad boss forever, from the beginning. What's the other kind of, do you remember, I don't know if anybody remembers, what's the other kind of self-existence they talk about in the mind-only school? It has a lot to do with the basis consciousness. That's close. What's that thing about bakchaks and all that? Huh? Yeah, that my mind and that pen are coming from the same karmic seed. Okay, I was nice to somebody, I loaned them a pencil in the past, and now I get to have a pen. And that same action created my mind to be aware of the pen. Okay, those two things are coming from one karmic seed. Okay, so what does ignorance think? I'm not responsible for that boss. No. I haven't created one karmic seed which got me into this company and got him into this company too. Okay, impossible. Okay, ignorance is saying that. I'm not responsible for the things I perceive. I may be responsible for my own mind, okay? I can accept that. But to say that one karma that I did, you know, one bad thing I did to somebody makes me go through 15 years of corporate life with this object in front of me, you know, and that it's also creating that. Impossible. Okay? Ignorance says that. And then ignorance does whatever it wants, and then ignorance has to go to more companies and work harder. Okay? One more question, then you can really have your refreshments. Who would be crazy enough to hold the second wrong view? You know, shenwangs, changing things, and emptiness itself, don't exist by definition. They're only your projections. Majjhimika, right? So who's the big enemy of the mind-only school? And who are they pointing the finger at when they say, oh, extreme views? You crazy middle-way people. What? The pen doesn't exist? What do you think? The pen doesn't exist? You want me to write on you with this pen that doesn't exist? You know what I mean? By the way, what did they just do? I just did it. Did you notice? I just did it. I said, you think this thing don't exist at all? You want me to write on you with it? What did the middle way really only say?
They said it's a projection of your
thoughts. Yeah, they didn't say it didn't exist at all. By the way, the mind-only school loves to do this. And get ready for it. Okay? Get used to it. They slip immediately, when they report the middle way's beliefs, they slip immediately from it doesn't exist from its own side to it doesn't exist at all. So they go wild, you know, attacking the middle way school. You guys don't think this pen exists. Come down here, let me draw your face with it. You know, I didn't say that. All I said was it didn't exist from its own side. I didn't say I couldn't have a projection of it making lines on my face. Okay? Alright? You gotta get used to that. The mind-only school is gonna try to get this one by you. What do they call it? Like, they're gonna try to slip this one by you over and over again. Okay? And they say, you stupid mani-mikas, you know. What, you think this thing doesn't exist? Wait a minute, I didn't say that. I just said it didn't exist out there on its own. Okay? Big difference. Yeah?
They claim that you were nihilists.
Oh, yeah. They'd say, you guys have fallen into the extremes.
And all the Hindu schools said they use the same argument.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now you've earned... Wait.
Maybe not.
Okay. Nah, do it now. We might die in a break.
Well, I would think that one thing that the mind-only school would want to ask my people is how they can explain the phenomena of shared experience.
Of what?
Shared experience.
Oh, yeah. He says, you know, given what we've said, if I was a mind-only school guy, the thing I'd want to ask the middle-way school is, well, how do you explain shared experiences? How is it that we're all having the same... What, do you think we're all having projections the same? You think 6 billion people are projecting the sun at the same time? Yes. Okay. Why not? Okay. All right. Can 6 billion people do one good thing or bad thing together at the same time? Yeah, whole countries have done bad things together. Seriously. Whole countries have supported an effort to kill millions of people. Stuff like that. And then according to Buddhism, every person in that country collects a very similar karma. And they can experience those karmas together later. You know, in a country which is constantly bombed or attacked by other people or something like that. You know. Okay. Yeah?
If middle way holds that self-nature does not exist at all...
Sorry?
If middle way holds that self-nature does not exist at all, right?
He says, does middle way school say that no self-nature exists at all?
I mean, for me, nothing exists from its own side.
That's better. Because I do have a self-nature. I am Michael Roach. Okay? Because why? Because you give me that nature. Okay? As I do. Shared experience. But yeah, from its own side, nothing exists. Wrong than they do from me. Yeah.
But they still use the same distinction in the argument.
Between...
If there's only an illusion,
yeah.
From my own point of view...
Yeah.
That
well, I think what you're saying is that we have to be really careful because the mind-only school and the middle-way school use the same words, but they mean totally different things. I think that's what you're boiling down to, you know? And that's a whole study of itself in the study of Madhyamika. It's the study of how these terms can mean totally different things to different schools. And how can you attack somebody if you're using the word one way and they're using it a different way? You see what I mean? And that's a whole study. But basically, before you start your argument, you have to say, here's what I mean by, you know, existing by definition. What do you mean by existing by definition? And then you start from there. Okay, that's the fair way. Okay, have some refreshments, and then we'll go back to mind-only picking on middle way some more. Okay.
Time to start. Time to start.
The other thing is... The volunteer thing has been working very, very, very well. I think we got a grant for the Women's Entry Center, a nice grant. Looks like we got another grant for imaging texts in Russia. Looks like we got another grant for publishing a few books. And the whole volunteer thing has been going very, very well. So if you want to help out, It's Monday nights at 5:30 to 6:30. Okay, and it doesn't matter. Just come, and we'll figure out how to make you a genius at something. You know, everyone's really been helping a lot, and really incredible stuff coming out. Like, you know, a whole bunch of beautiful things. Like a whole Margie's working on a bunch of tankas and stuff like that. Very cool. A lot of cool stuff coming out. So, if you have time. You know, you're welcome to come, okay? All right. Can't think of anything else. The Arizona thing looks pretty good. We don't know yet, so keep praying, okay? We said that in the mind-only school to Dondok, right, which is to see something where there is nothing, would be to say that the fact that this is called pen is something that should have always existed forever, from its own side, to its own identity, which is wrong, right? Because kuntaks don't exist from their own side, right? Pen does. This pen does, right? It's a shenwan. The pen does exist from its own side. But the fact that this cylinder is called a pen is arbitrary. It's something you make up in your mind. It doesn't come from its own side. Okay. Now, how to say that in Tibetan? On your homework? Okay, this is concocting something, right? This is Dondok. It's making up something where there is no such thing. What's Kunta?
Constructs.
Yeah, constructs. Right now, we're talking about thinking of a pen as a pen. Calling a pen. Okay? That idea. That construct, that mental idea, okay, that mental picture, that mental labeling of this cylinder, okay. Is it Rangi Teni Ki Drupa? Does it exist by definition in the? Well, it doesn't matter, does it? Okay, because both schools would say it don't exist by definition. It's a concept. It's something you made up with your own head, okay. By the way, would both schools say it that way? Oh, it doesn't exist by definition because it's just something you made up.
No.
No, okay. Middle way school would say it doesn't exist by definition.
Because it doesn't exist.
I guess they would say because it is something that your mind just made up, okay? But they don't quite mean the same thing. You figure it out. Okay, anyway, that's the kuntak. Kuntak means, quote, pen, or calling this thing pen. That's not something that is a God-given right. That's not something which is automatic, okay? It's a construct of your mind, okay? It doesn't exist by definition. To believe that it does, which means zimba, yipar zimba, to believe that it does exist by definition, would in the mind-only school be dondok, concocting something where there is nothing, okay? Why is that important? Who cares? I mean, Why can't we do some real Buddhism? Why you stand up there talking about philosophy? Okay. This is exactly why you suffer. Okay? Because all day long you're believing that that guy is bad. He should be called bad from his own side. The word bad applies to this experience from its own side. The word bad applies to this person that I don't like from his own side. Then I can get mad. Okay? And the madness creates more guys like that. And that's samsara. That's the meaning of korva. Self-perpetuating thing. Okay? Break it. Okay? I mean, break it. Don't make this class something you do at home, 10 minutes before class and fill out your homework and come and finish it. Use it. Okay? That's the point of the class. You know, use it tomorrow at work. Use it this evening with your fellow students. Okay. Oh, sorry. Jimba means holding or believing that kuntak, which means constructs, yapa means exist, yapar, exist, rangi teniki means by definition, and I'll say it again, believing that constructs could exist by definition is what it is in the what school? Mind-only school, to concoct something or to dondok, okay? One of the two extreme views and the source of your suffering. There's two more questions about this one. You know, question number 4 on your homework says, describe the specific idea which according to the mind-only school is held by the view of, quote, concocting something. You just copy this. Oh, it thinks that constructs exist from their own side, right, by definition. And then the next question says, how, according to the mind-only school, would you help someone get over this extreme view? Suppose someone has this problem of thinking that this pen comes from its own... of thinking that the name is automatic. Okay, how would you get somebody to get over this problem? How does the Buddha help people in a mind-only mode? That's the question. What's he do first? He splits things up. He says, hey, you can understand everything. Just split it up. Okay? What? Kundar, Shemans, Yondrums. Okay? Look. Is this pen empty or not? Well, first of all, is it a Shenwan? Yeah, is it a dependent thing? Yeah, it depends on its consciousness. Okay? It's depending right now on my fingers to hold it up. Okay? Does it have its own emptiness? Of course it has its own emptiness. Everybody agrees to that. Every Buddhist school agrees that it has some kind of emptiness, okay? Of what? Of being a pen, of being called a pen, by definition, from its own side, God-given right, has to be called a pen, okay? It's empty of that. It's devoid of that. It doesn't have that, okay? See how you can understand emptiness? Okay. So don't go believing that this thing is called a pen from its own side. Okay? Don't go thinking that. Otherwise you can't establish its emptiness, which is the absence of that. Okay, that's how you would help somebody. If you were in the mind-only mode, and the student was somebody who couldn't get Madhyamika, well, you could help them that way. You know? But you think this thing has to be called a pen? You think we can't call it a chewable thing? You know, and then work at them like that. Okay, that's a way to work on somebody. Okay, if they had that viewpoint. Yeah? Yeah, yeah. It's Drondol. It's not the same as Kundep. Kundep and Kundak are not the same thing, right? Kundep means to discount something. Kundak means something that you imagine or you make up. Oh yeah, yeah. We're talking about the wrong one, right? When we talk about emptiness, yeah, we're talking about the wrong one. Yeah. Sorry. Sure, it could be. Yeah, we can tell him that. I mean, it might help push him up to the middle way, right? If from a dog's point of view, maybe explain that to them. Is a dog Shenwangi, is a dog Kundaking it as pen in the mind-only school? You gotta think about it. Okay. No, it's a good question. It's a good question. Now, here's the opposite. Oh, sorry. One more question. Stop that. Who would you accuse of holding that this pen is called a pen from its own time? No, mind-only school is accusing somebody else. But don't forget we're in a mind-only presentation. Who's making the presentation tonight? Who? Arya Sangha. Okay. He's explaining the sutra. He's inventing the mind-only school as we speak. Okay. He's creating the mind-only school. He's the founding father of the mind-only school. You are watching the creation of the mind-only school. This is how it happened historically. Arya Sangha was trying to explain what the Buddha meant in that sutra. And that this is how the mind-only school started. Okay. It's very cool. You're witnessing the birth of the mind-only school as we speak. Okay. Last thing he says about that viewpoint. Who is he accusing of having this viewpoint?
People who first turning
the wheel. She says people are first turning the wheel. You could say that. But mainly it's your own ignorance. Okay. In the mind-only school, this is what ignorance shtick is. This is what ignorance does for a living. Okay? It looks at pens and thinks they should have been called pens from their own side. It looks at pens and says, that wasn't created by the same karma that brought me here to this room. When in fact, it was. Okay? And to hold it to be any other way is ignorance in the mind-only school. Is it like something you can't accept in the middle way school? No, middle way school says the same thing. But do they describe ultimate meaning of emptiness that way? No. Do they describe it in a very similar way? Yeah. Okay, that's very cool. Like mind only is very cool for slipping into middle way. Okay? Okay? Middle way would say, yeah, this is a projection of your karma, forced on you by your karma. That's very similar to saying, this pen and me being here have come from the same karmic seed. See, very close. Very close. And the more fine you can make these distinctions, the better your understanding of your own school will be, Madhyamika. Okay? So we finished for drone dog. We finished for concocting things. We finished describing what it thinks in the mind only school, how it sees things in the mind only school. We finished the steps you would take to talk somebody out of it. Okay? Hey, Buddha taught these three things, you know? If you don't accept this, then you can't establish emptiness with regard to Shenlong. So you've got to believe that Kuntaks don't exist. Okay? Alright? And then thirdly, who is it that holds this stupid view? Your ignorance. Okay? Who's the villain on the drone dog side in the mind only school? Your ignorance. Who's the one who's doing that? Your ignorance. Okay? Now we're going to go through the same process for what? For kunda, for the tendency to believe that nothing's there when there really is something there. Okay? In the mind only school, what would it be? It would be to say that those other two things, what other two things? Shenwangs and Yodrups, okay? Dependent things and emptiness. What? Don't exist by definition. Now, who'd be stupid enough to say that? How about middle way Nagarjuna, the Buddha, the Dalai Lama, I can't remember. You know what I mean? Okay? Alright. That would be stupid enough to say that. Would they be crazy enough to say things don't exist? Oh, I'm trying to slip one by it. Did you get me? Did you get it? Got it? Hey, wait a minute, that's not what we said. Okay? Like half of you went for it. Okay? Alright? Don't do that. Okay, here we go. Okay, say Shenwang, Yongdu, Rangi, Seniki, Matuba. Shenwang, Yongdu, Rangi, Seniki, Matuba. Okay, we've already gone through the meaning. Shenwang means dependent things, changing things, same thing. Functional things, same thing. What does Shenwang mean? At the mercy of other things. What? Their causes. They don't happen if the causes don't show up, they don't get to be there. Okay? Alright? Yongdruk means what? Emptiness in the mind only school version. Okay? We call it totality. Yeah, it's called totality. Why? Because the minute something exists, it is in its totality empty. That's why it's called totality. Alright? It's a code word for emptiness. Okay? Shenwangs and Yongdrups, Rangi, Tini, Ki, Madupa, don't exist by definition. Don't exist by definition. Who believes that? Yeah, Madhyamika. By the way, Jatokapa goes through eliminating the other possibilities. He says, look, no non-Buddhist schools are running around saying that. No Hinayana schools are running around saying that. The Mainoi school wouldn't say that. Well, that leaves the Madhyamika. Sorry, I guess we're guilty. All right? So he's actually trying to find out who's the villain in the mind-only school's presentation. And then he quotes Master Asanga in the levels of the Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva Bhumis, you know, to the effect that, yeah, the villains here are the middle way school people. Okay? Says Master Asanga, who's a closet middle way philosopher. All right? In that book, right? Because he wrote that book from the point of view of mind-only school. Okay? And he virulently attacks the middle way school. You idiots that say nothing exists. Alright? Okay? That say nothing exists. By the way, I gave you the last thing there. I think that was finished. Oh. Well, I'll give you the punchline anyway, and then we'll go back to some other details. This is how, by the way, the mind only school in your reading at the end, which is extremely difficult, okay? Especially if there's 12 people in your room talking about different stuff and the TV's going and there's Irish music on the tape recorder. Okay? And you're trying to translate it. Okay? But, anyway. It's like this. This is how the mind-only school likes to attack the middle-way school. Ready? Do you believe this pen exists from its own side? And they say, Okay, I'll be mind only school, you be mind yamika, okay? Does this pen exist from its own side? Does it have its own identity?
No.
No. Okay. Does it have any existence?
Yes.
Okay. How? Yeah. Your mind is projecting on it. Now remember the word that I use, projecting, and the word for constructing is the same word. It's takpa, ndokpa. Mingdek taktam and kuntak, same dok. Okay. Oh, so you're saying this is just a construct, right? Meaning projection. Okay? You're middle way, okay? Don't forget. I'm mind only. I'm innocent mind only. You're these extremists. Alright? Does this thing have any existence?
Yes.
Well, how? It's a projection of your mind. Oh, really? Okay. So then the pen doesn't exist from its own side, right? Right. And if it doesn't exist, then what is it that you are projecting onto? If it doesn't exist, what are you putting your projection onto? Oh, I can't get it by you. Okay. By the way, they go straight like that. They go with a straight face. Okay, they say, well, if it doesn't okay, follow me, okay? Pretend you didn't catch it, okay? Okay, you middleway guys. So if it doesn't exist, what is it you're calling pen? What is it you project onto as pen? Huh? What? What are you calling the pen then, if it doesn't exist? There's nothing to call a pen, according to you guys. Okay, there's nothing to call a pen. No, because you'll say that basis also has the same, doesn't exist from its own side, doesn't exist. You say that too. So if you, now I got you, okay? You stupid middle way. Okay? Now I got you. If there's no pen to have your projection towards, then how on the earth can you have a projection? And how then can everything be projection? There's nothing to give a projection towards, according to you. Okay. So nothing exists, because according to you, everything exists by projection. Mingdei taksam, according to you. I got you. You gotta be wrong. You're extremist. You know. You probably don't believe in cause and effect. You probably don't believe in karma. You probably go home and drink beer or something. Okay? Okay? Really. I mean, by the way, that's a pure mind only. If you read the last few pages of your reading tonight, which will be hot off the presses in about 10 minutes, that's how it would go. I'll run it by you one more time. Does this thing exist from its own side? Well, then how on earth does it exist? Yes, through your projections. Okay? So if it doesn't exist, what are you projecting onto? You guys say we didn't say it doesn't exist, but let's say you didn't catch me. Let's say you didn't catch me. Yeah, right. Mind only school jumps and tries to get away with it, okay? They try to jump and get away with it. They say, okay, so what are you projecting onto? I don't know, there's nothing to project onto, right? So the projections themselves don't exist either. So nothing exists. Because according to you, everything is projections. So if projections don't exist, nothing exists. Okay? You guys are real extremists. Okay? That's what they say. That's exactly how the mind only, that's exactly the process they go through. Okay? Yeah?
If they're smart enough to pull that trick, then are they seeing what's
there? Oh, is it a trick in their mind?
No.
It's not. They don't think they're trying to get anything by you. To say it doesn't exist from its own side, and to say it doesn't exist with regard to a Shenhua, gotta say it that way, is equivalent to saying it doesn't exist. Okay, I'll say it again. If you say about a Shenhua, about a dependent thing, that it doesn't exist from its own side, well, in this school, you've got to be saying it doesn't exist at all. So that's no problem for me to go from there to there. You got a problem with that? Buddha said so in that sutra. I can show you the quotation. Okay? I don't know what you guys are at. I accept what the Buddha said. Okay? Alright? I think that's about it. Did you have a question? Somebody had a question. Yeah.
How do they resolve the other end of their thing? That if Shenhua do have an existence from their own side, then it's almost like postulating an unchanging thing within a changing thing. How can they...
Anne says that, like, saying that Shenhuas exist from their own side is like postulating an unchanging thing and a changing thing. So, I'll be mind only, okay? So, changing things never have unchanging things about them? Who said no? So I guess the Buddha only talked about two of those attributes, Shenwang's and Kuntak's, right? There's only two, there's not three, right? Huh? Oh, there's three? Oh, what would the third one be? Oh, and those are the changing yongdos, right? Are there unchanging yongdos? And they apply to Shenwang's? So, changing things have unchanging things about them? Now that's how you debate, by the way, in the monastery. It's all like this big sarcasm, you know. Oh, well, I guess there's only two attributes, eh? Alright. Okay, two more small things. We described in the mind-only school that corn depth, or saying that something's not there when it is there, would be to say about dependent things and about emptiness that they don't exist by definition. Right? Got it? Be it to say that they don't exist. Kundepping them, discounting them, you know, shortchanging them, would be to say pens and emptiness don't exist from their own side. In the mind-only school, that's what shortchanging would be. Okay? Oh, you could go around saying this thing doesn't exist by definition, the pen doesn't exist from its own side, emptiness doesn't exist from its own side. You are kundepping. Okay? You are shortchanging, you are discounting something which really does exist. It does exist from its own side, and you're going around saying that those two things don't exist from their own side. Okay. Question 8. How, according to the mind-only school, would you help someone get over the extreme view of discounting those things? It's that whole process I just went through. No, it's like, okay, you say this thing doesn't exist by definition? And if you're middle way, you say what? Yeah, that's what I said. What do you want to do about it? Okay? Okay. You say this thing doesn't exist by definition, right? Right. Well, how do you think it does exist? All right. And the thing, and there's nothing to project onto, right? Because it doesn't exist by definition, right? So if there's nothing to project onto, there's no projections, right? And if projections don't exist, then your whole idea of existence, which is what? Everything exists by projections. Everything exists by something that doesn't exist, right? Thanks. Okay? That's how you fix somebody from that stupid what view? Middle way view. Okay? That's how you fix it. Okay? By the way, since it's false, there's got to be a trick in there, and that's where you jump from existing by definition, sorry, not existing by definition to not existing at all. Got it?
Yeah.
You get used to it. I'll go through it one more time. You're middle way. I'm mind only. Does this thing exist? You're mind only. I'm middle way. Does it exist?
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't exist by definition.
No.
You're middle way. You're middle way.
No, middle.
I'm sorry. You're mind only.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You're middle way. I'm mind only. You're middle. You're right in the middle. Okay. I'm mind only. Okay. You're middle way. I'm mind only. Does this thing exist? You're middle way.
I'm middle way.
Does this thing exist?
It exists.
I didn't ask that.
Okay.
Does this thing exist?
Yes.
Yeah, does it exist from its own side?
No.
Are you labeling something onto it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you, are you projecting something onto it?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, onto what? Because that doesn't exist from its own side, doesn't exist. So, well, our school's the same thing. Okay, so is there something to project onto? No. I don't let you answer, right? I say no, you said no because it didn't exist from its own side. Never mind, you did. No, that's what mind-only school has to say. They have to say that. You know? Do they have to say it about everything? No, you see. About Shenwang, that's a crazy thing to say, that it doesn't exist from its own side. If I had a Shenwang in my hand, that didn't exist from its own side, it would have to be non-existent at all. You see what I mean? If I had a changing thing in my hand that didn't come from its own cause, come on. Where are you going to find something like that? Got to be non-existent. Okay. So how are you going to project onto that? I don't think you even believe in projections. I don't think you believe in anything because you say everything's projection and then you say projections don't exist because you say the thing you project on doesn't exist because you say it doesn't come from its own side. Crazy. That's all. You got to get used to that. Okay? They say, look, we never said it didn't exist. We said it doesn't exist independent of your projections, okay? You can get hit by a car, but the car isn't coming from its own side. It will break your legs, even though it's an illusion. Okay? In fact, it will break your legs because it's an illusion. Otherwise, your legs couldn't break. Okay? That's how Manimik would answer. Okay. Last thing. Who's the villain who does this current depth according to the Mainoli school? Be careful. Ignorance did the drone doking. Yeah, middle way school. The villain is the middle way school. How do you fix them? You go through proving that there's nothing to project on, so there's no projections. And when you say that everything's projection, and if there's no projections, then nothing exists. Let's go have a beer. Okay? All right? According to you, then there's no morality. Then you're not a Buddhist. Okay? I mean, that's how they complain about the middle way school. Okay? So in your homework, that's all we're going to do tonight. In your homework, you go home and you compare those two ways of thinking about discounting and concocting, dondok and kundan. Kundan. Okay, we'll go over the middle way school one more time. What is it to dondok this pen in the middle way school? To say that it exists from its own side, independent of any projection coming from you. Okay. Your boss is bad from his own side. It's not coming from you. I am not to blame. Okay? I believe that. Okay, that in the middle way school, that would be dondo. That would be concocting something when it's not there. There is no self-existent boss who's bad from his own side. There doesn't exist any such thing. Never did, never will. Stop getting angry. Break the wheel of life at the first link. You don't have to die anymore. You don't have to get old anymore. And especially nice, you don't have to meet these guys anymore. Okay? Not kidding. Do it. I have students who do it all the time. It's wonderful to clean up your office. You know, it's better than taking a gun to the post office. You know? No legal repercussions at all. They just get transferred. They have heart attacks. You know, they move to Cincinnati. Okay? It's very clean. No evidence left over. Okay? Really. And then you clean up the rest of your world and it's called Buddha Paradise. And it's the same principle as cleaning up the office. Okay? But you start with the office. Okay? And then what's according to the Mainoli school, what would be discounting this pen? Middle way school. I'm sorry. Long day. Huh? You could say thinking it's not empty, or thinking that if it's not the way I thought it was, then it doesn't matter. It's non-existent. It's an illusion. I can do anything. Okay? That's the middle way school's version. So in your meditation until Tuesday, work on that. Skip through the two ideas, okay? How would a mind-only school person say, I'm concocting something here? Now, how would a middle way school person say, I'm concocting something here? And how would a mind only school person say, I'm discounting or canceling something here? And how would a middle way person say, and then when you have your own students, which you must have, and you're explaining it to them in the middle way school version, they'll come up with some wrong idea that's a mind only way version. You say, you're really smart. That's an Arya Sangha's position. But it's wrong. And then, and then you explain it to them. You see, and then their understanding of real emptiness gets much, much clearer. Okay, that's the whole idea. Okay, all right, we'll do some prayers.
Sanam yeshe lechong
is the end of Class 7. You have been listening to What the Buddha Really Meant with Geshe Michael Roach, presented by the Asian Classics Institute. The Asian Classics Institute is dedicated to preserving the pure teachings and practice of Buddhism. For a listing of other topics available, write to the Asian Classics Institute, P.O. Box 20373, New York, New York, 10009, or call 212-475-7752.